This is the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I'm your host, Martha Riley. I'm a TEDx speaker, cheese pizza lover, and master human connector. I help introverts, people with social anxiety, and awkward humans of the world find confidence, connection, and their cool factor. Because have you ever been to a party and someone asked you a question that you didn't know the answer to? Yeah, me too. It fucking sucks. But that's where I come in. I'm asking the questions so you'll have the answers. So sit back, relax, because there's shit we need to know. Can I be honest with you guys? I still have Old Town Road stuck in my head. I'm being completely serious. That song slaps, yo. It is so good. But that is not what I am here to talk about today. I'm here to talk about my podcast, the Shit You Need to Know podcast, because that is why you are all here. And let's just start off with a question. There's some backstory behind this question. So if you've noticed, like, on my Instagram, I've just been feeling like a little bit out of it. And I don't really know why until it really hits me. It's a new moon phase, or it's a full moon phase. And I never used to believe in that stuff until every fucking month on the dot, I would look up if it's a new moon or if it's a full moon. And if it is, my mood is weird. Like, I feel really spacey. I just feel out of it. I feel off. I can't really show up to my relationships. I can't really, like, show up to work, just because my energy is so drained. So this might sound a little woo-woo, but if you notice a pattern, like, every month you start feeling kind of shitty around the same time, maybe look into it. I don't know. Who am I to tell you anything? But my question this week is, are you one of those people like me that notice the moon phases and how your energy is affected by that, or how your mood is affected by that? I would love to know. You can find me on Instagram at Real Martha Riley. The poll goes live Wednesday when this episode goes live. Well, this goes live at like 3 a.m., so I just post it kind of when I remember. Sometimes I don't remember till later in the day. But find me on Instagram to answer that poll. The new thing that I am trying out is Instagram Lives. I don't know how I like it yet, but I'm also kind of realizing that if I do it Wednesday, the day the episode comes out, a lot of you don't really listen to it the first day, and that's totally cool as long as you listen to it at some point. So I don't know, I'm going to play around with that. I would love to, you know, do a recap on how the episode went, or like what I learned from it personally. I just haven't figured out a great day for it yet. So if you see me going live on Instagram, I am probably talking about the episode. I don't really like to go live otherwise because I'm behind a computer and microphone and you can just edit all this out. What you don't know is I already messed up like 3 times, like just recording this one segment. So I'm better at behind the scenes sort of stuff. But this week in the Shit You Need to Know podcast world, I interview Eva Payne. And Eva, at heart, is a pioneer and teacher. She has spent 20 years cultivating leadership and self-advocacy skills in thousands of participants through a nonprofit she began while she was frickin' 21, you guys. So talk about feeling inadequate. Just kidding. Her whole message is not about feeling inadequate. But Eva has her MS in leadership and management, and she has 6 kids. So they're ages 7 to 18, and the 7-year-olds are twins. So I think that's super cute. But her whole thing is flow. So what does flow mean? It means following life's opportunities wholeheartedly. And that message comes through Eva's freaking pores, you guys. During this interview, she said so many good things. I took a ton of notes while I was interviewing her. And then I also took a ton of notes while I was listening through and editing this. So basically, her message is that life is so beautiful, and you really need to find the things that you are thankful for because of that. You may think that, you know, your job sucks, but what is good about that day? Maybe you had a nice drive into work, or maybe you connected with a really good friend. That's what she talks about. She also really hammers home the point of being intentional about your dreams. So you need to honor your essence. What are you good at? And what are the people of the world missing out on? Because you're either, you know, too scared or too confused to, you know, take the next step. So this episode was so good. It's a little long, but I promise you, if you stay till the end of it, you will learn so frickin' much. And Eva also talks about how you just need to find that 51% joy in your life. So for me, that 51% joy is doing my podcast. If I had a bad day, I can go home, I can read some reviews, people can tell me, you know, people I haven't heard from in years come out of the woodwork and are like, Martha, we love your podcast. I was at a wedding recently and this guy was like, oh, I listen to your podcast. I'm like, what the fuck? We never talked in college, rarely, but I'm so flattered and so honored that you do. So Ryan, if you're listening, thank you for listening. So please enjoy this interview with Eva, she is fantastic, and I know you will get a ton out of it. Take it away.
If you are meant to go find the cure for cancer, and your parents have been telling you that you need to be an attorney your whole life, and you're stuck in a profession that is draining you, and you would rather be finding the cure, like, what the heck are you doing? You know, you're not where you need to be. And I mean, I'm using that as an extreme example, but I think that's true for all of us. So we have to get to what our soul wants us to do. So that way we can solve the problem in our neck of the woods that we're here. And that's going to make us feel fulfilled, you know, that we're here to do ultimately. I mean, that's how you find happiness. It's not the grind. It's not the day to day, like, oh my gosh, I have to go. What else could I be doing? And I mean, that's just such a sucky way to live. Like, who wants that?
No one wants that. Right? Yeah. So speak more on that. Tell me more about you and what makes you excited. What gets you out of bed in the morning?
What gets me out of bed in the morning? Well, I have 6 kids, so that's first. Like, that gets me out of bed because I got to get them out of bed. I got to get lunches made. I've got to make sure that backpacks are packed, that they've had breakfast, right? So like, there's the very practical side of my life that I have that I enjoy and want to be so incredibly present for, because this time is so fleeting. I mean, I have an 18-year-old daughter down to twin 7-year-olds, 5 boys, 1 girl. And so first and foremost for me, it's like, I have been entrusted with these beings who are so unique and they're such individuals. And when I look at my kids, I don't say, you're all going to college, you're all going to be doctors or lawyers or this or that. Like, I just look at you and go, who are you? Like, what, how can I support who you are and what you want to be? And that is my mission, not just for them, but for anyone who comes into my circle of influence. It's like, I really try to figure out the essence of someone and then help them to go after the thing that is their deepest heart's desire. Because ultimately, that's what's going to make the world a better place, is when we're all pursuing the things that we want to do most. Because I guarantee you, if you really ask the question, what do you want most in this world? It's going to be filling a need. There's going to be something that you have innately in you. There's some strengths that you're born with. You've gained some talents along the way. You have an intuition. You have this kind of knowingness, this feeling in your heart, your gut, whatever, God, whatever you want to call it. There's a passion that drives you. There's things you're interested in. And then once you get the belief system that you can do it, or someone else believes in you enough and tells you you're good, you can do it, then all of a sudden creativity just comes in and the most miraculous things are created, invented, brought forth into the world, ideas, collaborations come together, fear melts away, openness becomes more of a possibility for people in love. I mean, it's just such a different way of approaching raising children. It's such a different way of approaching raising yourself, you know, your continuous evolution. It's such a more loving way of saying anything is possible, but in a more tangible way than just saying anything is possible. Well, yes, I believe that, but I think we each have our own particular whatever it is that we really want to do. And that thing is so important. And we have to get in the business of figuring out what that is for ourselves and letting it unfold, you know, having patience to let it unfold. Because like, I'm a very go, 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 go. I'm a doer. I always have been. I can, say, I'm going to do this, and then plow my way towards it. But what I found is that when I let go of trying to push something forward and I just let things unfold, I'm like, all right, my overall mission is I want to serve someone today. Like, I'll wake up and I'll just go, all right, universe, what are we going to do today? I mean, I don't even have, besides getting my kids out the door by 7:15 and picking them up at 2, that time in between, it's like I've got my to-do list things, the things I kind of have to do, let's say, but then I also make time for just what I want to do. And I don't even know what that want to do is until I get to that moment. And I take a deep breath and I'm like, universe, let's go. What do you want to do? What do you want to do today? How do you want to help? Where do you want me to be? And sometimes I'll just start thinking, okay, start writing. Or the idea will go, oh, you wanted to go research this thing, or you wanted to go listen to this podcast, or let's go do this, or call this person. And I just follow my intuition. I follow my instincts. And it always leads to really miraculous experiences that build upon themselves. And one day, all of a sudden, 3, 4, 5 weeks later, I'm looking back and going, no way. Like, how did I even get here? Look at all of these experiences that built up to bring me to this place today. So I just think life is beautiful. There's so much to be grateful for. There's so much good in the world. And I see it. And I really want to help other people be able to see it for themselves as well.
So what advice would you give millennials? Because I feel like that 20 to 30 age range, people are really like, you see it on the news, like, oh, millennials are ruining the paper towel industry, or like whatever. Like, what advice do you give those of us that are maybe sort of, you know, maybe not super motivated to do anything just because the world seems to be against us? I'm not speaking for all millennials, but some of us are. You know, what advice would you give to that subset of people?
This is what I would say. I would say if you're unmotivated, it's because you haven't found your thing. And so you are on a hunt to find the thing that drives you. So for me, I started a nonprofit at 21. It was nagging at me to start it. And I could not say no. But I kind of felt like I got, at the time, I was like, kind of felt lucky, like all the signs were pointing this way. And I just listened to my intuition a lot. So I was like, all right, what do I have to lose? Let's go and do it. But 20 years later, when that need is starting to dissipate, because now there's a cure, or not a cure, but we're moving towards a cure for HIV and AIDS, which is what my nonprofit was started in. Like 3 people have been found to be in remission. And so we are getting closer and closer, and less kids are being born HIV positive. So I'm like, what am I going to do with myself? Right. So I am in a way kind of in that millennial place as well, because it's like, what do you do with yourself when you don't really know what to do? And it's about figuring out what you are passionate about. It's about figuring out, like, I call it the flow life. Sit down and write down what you're interested in. What interests you? Like, I like random things. Like, I totally believe in aliens and UFOs, and I'm fascinated by Egypt, and I'm fascinated by personal development, and I love motivating people, and I love people who are motivating, and I love young people, and I love working with children. So I write all this stuff down, right? I love finding ideas to problems, finding solutions, possible solutions. I'm good at that. So I write that down. So I write down all the things that I'm interested in. Then I go back and I was like, okay, where are all of my strengths? So like, what are the things that I'm innately born with? So I go, okay, let me think of Eva as a 5-year-old, and Eva as an 8-year-old, and Eva as a 10-year-old, and 15-year-old, and 20-year-old, and 25-year-old, and 30-year-old. I'm 42, so you know, I can keep going. But I'm looking at what are some of the strengths consistently in my life. And I would say, whether it was nurtured or not, or I understood it or not, or it was expressed in the best way or not, I've always been a leader. Like, I have a master's in leadership. Why? Because I love leadership. I'm fascinated with summer camp because I am fascinated with the challenge course. You know, I'm fascinated with what that brings to being able to see how leaders are born, and who steps up when it's like the kid's like, I can't do it. I can't climb the wall. And everyone's like, you got this, come on. And then they make it, they climb up this 42-foot wall, you know, and all of a sudden they feel so good about themselves. Like, I can see how leadership in my life, I was involved in ASB. I was the captain of my cheerleading squad in high school, which I never thought I would be a cheerleader, but that's a whole nother story. But I love it. And I feel like I've kind of turned into that cheerleader in life also. Like, I'm like, hey, that's another strength of mine. I really am like that person. So then I start looking at my talents. What are the things that I've nurtured in my life over my entire life? So I have nurtured like leadership, but I've also nurtured things like running a nonprofit. I've had to learn so many things on how to start and run a nonprofit. So I have a lot of talent in areas that are in the world of business, the world of creating solutions. And so I think, okay, what else can I put into this talent bucket? What are some of the things I want to get good at? Like, so for you, if you want to get really good at doing podcasts, you're going to do more and more of them. You're going to start researching people who are really good at it and what makes them good at it. You're going to start like, because you want to be better, you want to nurture that talent. So you're going to go after people who are doing it better than you. And you're going to take the things that resonate with you, right? You're going to go, okay, that I like how that person does that. And I like how that person does that. That's what I did when I started the summer camp. I grew up going to summer camp. So I knew if I could take the best of every single component of every single camp, I could create the most amazing summer camp in the entire world, which I feel like I did. I absolutely created this amazing summer camp that I think is probably one of the best models of camping and summer camping programs out there. Then you have to have a belief system. Like, you either have to believe in yourself, you have to have someone who believes in you to move forward with an idea. So with something that like you're thinking, gosh, I really want to write a book, or I really want to travel, or I want to start that blog, or I really want to, you know what? I know I have a degree in this, but man, my heart really wants me to go pursue this thing. But what do I know about it? I mean, I don't really know anything. You have to start laying a brick every single day. And I think for some people, you find your motivation in going to seminars or listening to podcasts like this, or reading a book, or watching motivational videos, or listening to music. You've got to find that like motivation, that belief that you can do it, and figuring out the thing that you're super, super passionate about. If you're not passionate about it, if you are not like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to get up tomorrow, you're going to stay unmotivated. You just will. You will not move forward. At least for me, I am like, this is so vital to me. I mean, I had a job one day for one day because I went in and I sat down and I did this job and I thought, no freaking way. I don't care how much you're paying me. I can't do it. I'm bored out of my mind. I have zero passion for this. I'm going to suck at it. So I'd rather just not do it. Why waste my time? So it's almost like, think about that even in relationships. Like, why do people stay in relationships or pursue relationships that they know are not going to work out? It's just like the same thing with the job. Why are you staying in a job that you know is not going to work out? You know, ultimately, it's just going to make you more and more and more and more sad. It's chiseling away at your soul and your heart and taking away passion out of your life. Some people, like, you know, my mom, for example, she's in her early 60s and she's like, I don't even know what I love anymore. I don't even know what I like or what I want to do. I don't ever want anyone to feel like that is where life has ended up, because that's just not at all how life is supposed to be lived. That passion is that feeling of falling in love, that feeling of like pure joy and excitement. You've got to find that thing that you are super passionate about. And then, of course, filling a need, right? Taking all of those things, interests, strengths, talent, intuition, a belief system, passion, and then filling a need, taking everything that you are, your essence, I call it like your essence. It's just who you are, and you're filling a need. You're helping someone else with that thing. And then finally, you do it through a very creative way. So you're letting creativity in. It's like me sitting down in the morning and going, okay, creativity, what are we going to do today? What do you want to do? And whether that means you're standing in a line and you're about to check out and that your voice in your head says, tell her you like her hair, just say it, right? It's like listening to that voice and going and doing the thing that it's telling you to do, because we're all creators, whether it's in an actual art form or whether it's in business or whether it's in your family or whether it's in a relationship, you're creating your experiences. So why not make them magical and different and memorable and get out of the pattern, get out of the I know exactly where I'm going to be tomorrow at 2 o'clock and the next day at 2 o'clock and the next day at 2 o'clock and the next day at 2 o'clock. I mean, that is a terrible way to exist.
I am pumped up right now. Oh my gosh. Yes. I'm loving all of this. Back to the summer camp point. I like that you're like, oh, I took all the parts of the best camps and I made, you know, the best camp I could. And I think that's a lot of what I struggle with sometimes. And I'm sure other people do. If you want to do that one thing, you don't necessarily have to reinvent the wheel. And that's like, there are things that have been done before that are good. So just follow those good things, but put a twist on it to make it your own. So I think that's an important lesson too, that I took away and that I'm sure other people will as well. Was there one sort of event in your life that made you think like, I'm not going to live like this anymore. Like I can't do this. I can't stay at that job any longer. Or was this sort of how you have always been?
I think for me, okay, two things. Let me first talk first to what you had just said, because what I love about what you just said was truly for you to go do a podcast, it is going to sound so different because you are different. You don't even have to try to do any different. By you simply just showing up as your authentic self, and I know we hear this a lot right now in like the personal development world, but it's so true. When you just show up and do what you love, you're going to attract the people who like you and appeal to what you are offering. And you don't even have to try to make it different or special. It's like Oprah said, when I stopped trying to be Barbara Walters and I just started being Oprah, that's when her career took off. And when we can just let ourselves really just come out and not be afraid of who that self is and just love that person, and know that person is imperfect and know that person has growth and know that person just is starting something that probably in a year might look totally different, and that's okay. Giving yourself permission to mess up along the way because you are here to evolve. Like you are forever an evolving being. And so it's okay to not have it perfect. Just start it. Just freaking do it. Just take a step. Just move forward and just say, why not? And I think for me, like when I started the nonprofit, okay, so I was 21. I went to school in Nebraska. I already was working at the number one morning show in on a radio station in Lincoln. So Lincoln's a 200,000 people surrounded by cornfield. So it's a small town, but 200,000 people is quite a lot of people. And there's nothing in Nebraska besides Husker football. And at the time, this radio station, because there was no real internet, no one had smartphones. I mean, you got your music from the radio station. So I have this platform and I worked hard to get there. I started when I was a freshman in college. I called to be an intern. Like I went through the very pragmatic steps, you know, moving my way up from working for free to then doing overnights. I literally would go from working midnight to 6 a.m. Then I'd go to college during the day. Then I'd do homework. Then I would sleep from like 6 p.m. to like 11:30. And then I'd go back and then I'd go to work at midnight. You know, I was doing like overnights. And so I worked my way up to the morning show. And then when I finally got to the morning show, I couldn't leave. I mean, I couldn't go back to summer camp. And I grew up going to summer camp and I loved it. So I'm sitting here in this job that like I'm supposed to be so excited for because I am Eva Ryan. I could walk into a restaurant and start talking and someone behind me would be like, oh my gosh, you're Eva Ryan. Because they knew my voice that well in this town. I would go speak at DARE graduations and people would come and have me do motivational talks. And right, like, because I was quote unquote famous in this small town and I'm supposed to be, and I am like, build your resume, build your resume, build your resume. I was going in. Like my mother said, I don't care what you do in life, you will go to college because that's how she was raised. Her dad was a doctor and my mom didn't end up finishing school. She had me at 19. And so I think that was one of her biggest regrets. And so she really pushed that on us, like be whatever religion you want, date whoever you want, but you're going to college. So I've always had this like, you've got to be the best. You've got to produce, you know, your resume, your resume, your resume is who you are. That's your identity. That's your identity. And all of a sudden I met with, I could not get any higher in my world within Lincoln, Nebraska, right? Within my chosen profession. I'm still a college student. And where I go from here, like the sky's the limit. And yet in the back of my head, I kept hearing, you're supposed to be at summer camp. You're supposed to be at summer camp. And I'm like, be quiet. Like I can't leave this job, right? Like this is where I'm supposed to be. And look how hard I've worked and look at where I'm at. And all of a sudden I start thinking, okay, well, what if I started a summer camp? Like, then I could still go and have this career, but then I'm in charge of the summer camp and like totally selfish, right? Like, I'm doing this because I wanted to go to camp. And then I'm thinking, okay, Eva, you've got to fill a need. Like, this can't just be about you. But I had nothing in my life that was pushing me towards some, like a cause, you know, like nothing. I mean, my mom had been married a few times. There have been just regular childhood traumas, but nothing like super huge that I felt like the need to jump on the bandwagon. And as I sat there, HIV and AIDS was one thing that just kept coming up again, like that pattern in my life. Like I could see leadership opportunities throughout my life. I could see how this moment I heard about HIV and this moment and this play had this impact on me and this and this. And it was like almost in a flash, what if you started a camp for kids impacted by HIV and AIDS? And I thought, huh, what if I did that? And I let it sit with me for like a month. And I was petrified of the idea because I was a theater major. I'd switched my major from broadcasting to theater at this time. I was working at this radio station. I knew nothing about starting a company, starting a nonprofit, writing grants, asking for money, zero. And, you know, I'd already spent so much time in my mind, 3 years, 4 years, on trying to get to this place, like starting over with something, like who's going to believe me that I could even do this? I didn't even believe myself because I really didn't even know that I could. And so the idea would not leave me alone. Like, this is why my acronym for FLOW is following life's opportunities wholeheartedly. Okay. Because when I can look now, 20 years now in the future, I can look back and say, here's this 21-year-old girl who had an audience of 200,000 people because of just, you know, life experiences and where I was and all of the things that had to build up for me to even be in that place. Me to choose to go to school in Nebraska from a Southern California, you know, life of being where I was raised, to me being determined to like try to make my mark in this town and build my resume, to then listening to my heart saying, but this isn't really where you want to be. What you really want to be doing is this camp. And maybe you're here at this radio station just so you can talk about starting this camp. Like, maybe that's why you're here. Oh, okay. So then I called my dad and I was like, hey, this idea will not leave me alone. And I'm petrified of it and I don't know what to do. And he's like, I think you can do it. And this is why I talk about belief being such a key component of your FLOW life funnel, these kind of 8 pillars, right? Because my dad was the one who said, you have a lot to learn. You have a lot of work ahead of you, but I believe in you. And that was enough for me to go, all right, Barnes & Noble, how to start a nonprofit. I bought the book. I started page one and going through each step. Like, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? And then I had to be brave enough to start telling people, because once you start telling someone, I'm sure for you, like once you told that first person, hey, I'm going to start a podcast or hey, I'm going to write a book or I'm going to start a nonprofit. It's so scary because A, there's going to be someone now that's going to hold you accountable. If you don't do it, you're going to be like, oh man, nah. Yeah, that idea just went by the wayside. Like, you're going to feel dumb, right? So you want to be able, but you also want people to be able to hold you accountable so you actually do stuff. Because if you just keep it in your head, unless you're super ridiculously motivated and you're a self-starter and you're super self-aware, you're not going to do anything with it. You need to start talking because that's where the opportunities come. We are built to collaborate. We are not built to operate as a sole functioning people. We are meant to work in groups and use each other's talents and strengths and abilities for larger purposes. So when I started the nonprofit, I had so many things I was not good at. But once I started talking to people and saying, this is what I need. Hey, I need an attorney. Someone's like, hey, I'll donate my services. Hey, I need an accountant. Hey, I'll donate my services. Hey, I need counselors. Hey, I'll come and volunteer. Hey, I need money. Sure, here's $25. Here's $50. Here's $100. I believe in you enough. I'll give you this chance. And all of a sudden, a year later, I mean, I really spent an entire year doing this. I went to school. I worked at the radio station. I did my homework and I worked on this nonprofit and watched TV. We didn't really have computers then. So I wasn't on my phone wasting time. I was literally dreaming and envisioning and creating logos and everything about the process, the creativity process of starting this organization just filled me every single day with pure joy that yes, I had to go do this day job, but I was like, it was just the day job. It was like the means, how can I use this day job to further this other thing that I'm doing and still, you know, bring my best game to both. So being able to utilize that radio station, the platform that I had there, really helped me to create Camp Kindle that very first year. And once I did it once, all of a sudden, people believed me. All of a sudden, I believed in myself. All of a sudden, I can see, oh my gosh, I did this with the help of these 25 other staff members and these parents and all these kids who participated. Like, it's not just I. This is a we thing. And once I noticed that this was a collaborative thing, like, yeah, it was my idea and I put it in motion, but it took a lot of people coming together, a lot of people in many different ways, bringing their talents, their gifts, their strengths, and me going, let's go, let's work together to build the best possible program we can build. And that's where so much of my success has come in, is because I just go, all right, universe, I'm going to start something, but I know I can't do it alone. So bring the people in who need to be a part of this process. Bring the people in who I need to learn from. Bring the people in who I can teach. There's always an exchange, whether it's with your kids or your partner. There's something for you to learn and something for you to give, or the cashier across the way from you. So just taking that approach in life and knowing everyone has something to offer. Every single person has value, and every single person, you have everything you need within arm's reach. You are 1 degree away from every single dream that you could possibly dream of right now coming true. And then all of a sudden you level up, and now all of a sudden you can dream so much bigger than you ever thought you could. And now again, you're 1 degree away from making the next thing happen. You have to be willing to close one chapter so the other can open. You can't be so stuck in your identity that you're unwilling to shift from it. I mean, you can, but then your life is not going to be what it can be. And if you truly want a happy, fulfilling life, you've got to let go of your trauma. You've got to let go of the attachments, the expectations, and start listening to your heart. Start being brave. Start doing things that force you to be courageous so you can have these small wins that propel you forward to keep doing things that are hard. Keep doing things that you're like, think of what you're the most afraid of and go straight to it. Go address that thing right now. The sooner you can start breaking down your fears and seeing that most of it is just stories you're making up anyway, then you can start really tackling the meaning and purpose of your life with zest and excitement and joy every single day.
Cool. Love that. I think that's so important too, because what is life if it's not joyful? You know, the big message that I got was like believing in yourself. Did you also have someone that was like, oh yeah, I believe in you too? Or how do you build that network of support as well?
I think the biggest thing that people need to do is realize that there are people in your circle right now who, if you just told your biggest dream to, would support you. And you just have to, that is so, so important. And if you don't have that, then you have to find it within yourself. If that means you go to a conference, if that means you hire a life coach, if that means you turn to your best friend and you say, I need you to hold me accountable. I need you to believe in me. I want to do this thing and I don't believe in myself. Like being vulnerable to ask for someone to have your back. If you're not sure, if someone can, like, I know I'm going to doubt myself on this journey, and can you be that rock for me until I can be that for myself? So it's really, you don't have to look very far, go very far. It really is right around you. And it starts with just simple little things. So for example, I was so afraid to write, so afraid, because I thought I'm really probably not that good of a writer. I've never written anything longer than a grant. Certainly not anything that's personal, but I just kept hearing like in my head, that voice in my head, you're supposed to write, you're supposed to write. But I'm like so afraid. Like, what if it's terrible? What if people think it's horrible? So finally, I just was like, Eva, take your own advice. Just start. Just sit down and freaking write something. No one ever has to see it. Just do it for yourself. So I did. So I sat down and I just typed something up, like whatever was on my heart that day. You know, I wasn't trying to prove anything to anyone. And then I read it back and I was like, huh, okay, maybe it doesn't suck too bad. I mean, yeah, there's lots of grammatical errors and I could probably fix that or this, but overall, you know, not too bad. And then I'd start telling someone like, hey, I wrote something, like my sister, you know, someone who's very safe. Would you just look it over and just give me your opinion? I mean, I personally really want to grow. If I really want to be a good writer, I want feedback. You've got to be open to feedback. You've got to be open to having people believe in you, but it's not fake belief. Okay, so think about this. It's just being willing to be a participant in your own life in a very direct and what's the word I'm looking for? Like meaningful way, you know? Really just an intent, like intentful way, really being able to just be intentional about your dream. That's really what life is about. Being willing to take the risks, being willing to say it might be nothing and I'm fine with it failing, but I'm also fine with it being something or molding and adapting and bringing the people in to help me mold and adapt whatever this thing is that's kindling in my heart and in my mind.
Sure. And you talk about flow a lot. Could you give a definition of that? Or is it sort of, maybe it's not a definition, maybe it's just a state of being. Could you go into more detail on that?
Yes. So for me, the acronym for flow is following life's opportunities wholeheartedly. And to me, what that really means is honoring your essence and serving others through it. So being aware of what is actually available to you and being courageous enough to say yes to it, detaching from the outcomes and allowing for a collaboration to happen. So that's really what being in flow every single day. It's saying, who am I? I'm just going to honor whoever I am today. I'm going to honor wherever I'm at emotionally in life. I'm going to honor where I'm at with my self-awareness, with where I want to be. And then I'm going to serve someone else. I'm going to take who I am and I'm going to serve someone else. And then being aware of what is actually available to you. So for me to say, like, I want to talk to Oprah. Okay, that's great. But is Oprah available to me right now? No. So who is available to me right now? Okay, my sister, she might need me for something, or the lady down the street, you know, I've been thinking about, and she just had a baby and maybe I could bring her a meal. Like, what are ways that I can serve that's going to really make me feel good about me? I know that sounds crazy, but that's really what it is. So it's being able to utilize your essence. And I love serving. So I'm someone who loves serving. So I'm always going to look for an opportunity to serve, because if I have one conversation with someone in a day and someone's like, I just had one aha in the 2 hours we talked, you gave me one aha moment, my entire day is made. I'm like, score. No matter what happens today, I have tipped 51% into the positive because I have served my essence. Like, my essence is service. That is who I am. That is what I want to do. And I want to do it in a way that motivates people, because I love motivating people. That allows for my leadership and my ideas to come forth, because that's just innately who I am. I love being strategic. So if I can be strategic around someone's life, that makes me really happy. I mean, I would do it for free every single day if I could and still pay my bills some other way. You know, if I could still have that in my life, that doesn't have to be my job. But to me, that's flow. Flow doesn't mean career. Flow doesn't just mean relationship. Flow means everything in your life. It's just when it comes in, you're like, okay, I see you. I see that, you know, when my dad passed away, for example, a year and a half ago, I kept saying, there's good in this. There's good in this. I don't, like, right now this sucks, but I know there's value in this moment. I know I'm going to learn something. I know. And I just kept hanging on to, like, the hope of it, that, like, I was going to be okay, that this wasn't the end, that, you know, there's something more. And whether there is or isn't, it makes me happier to believe there is. So I believe it. And great. That works for me. So just whatever works for you to help you, not just say whatever, right? Because you want to make healthy choices. But just letting whatever life comes in, when you start to feel resistance. So, like, let's say you don't like your job. Going to your job drains you. You have to figure out a way to bring in 51% joy into your day. So if that means
you go into your job, you put your head down, you get your job done. But the second you get off, it is about self-care. It is about doing what you love. It is about going on that run. It is about starting that business that you want to start. It is about sitting down with your computer and writing because, oh my gosh, your heart just wants to write. Or spending time with your children because that's where your joy is. Or spending time with your partner because you just love being next to him or her, right? Like, you have to have 51% joy because then you will want that more and more and more. And eventually you will move away from the stuff that is so yucky because you'll go, why am I doing this? Why am I staying here? You become so much more self-aware and you want that flow in your life. You want that ease and that ability to move through challenges with like, okay, this is here for a reason. I'm here to learn and grow from this. It's not here to stop me. A roadblock is just a way for me to get strategic about the challenge that's in front of me. And I can do that. I have people I can talk to. Everything's on Google or YouTube nowadays. Go see what people are saying and be open to all perspectives. One perspective isn't enough. You have to be willing to look at, like me with the summer camp, I have to be willing to look at how all the programs run. I have to be willing to look at what's the best of everything and not just say it's my way or the highway, people, right? I've got to be willing to be open to that because that's where the magic and beauty comes.
Totally. I agree with that. And I love that 51% joy in life. I think that's really beautiful because you tend to focus on the negatives more often than the positives. I think, well, for me at least, I don't want to speak for everyone, but yeah, I definitely am like, okay, my job sucks. Cool. That's it. That's my whole day. But there are other ways to, you know, improve the joy and increase the joy. So I wanted to also ask about how does flow, the following life's opportunities wholeheartedly, apply in relationships? Because I think as, you know, that 20 to 30 age range, we're either getting married or finding a partner, not necessarily, but it does feel like that for a lot of me and my friends that
yeah,
we're sort of at that age range where we're either dating pretty heavily or we're already getting married. How can we apply this concept to our love lives?
I think for me, the most important thing when you think about your relationships and you think about flow is you have to understand that, and this is all relationships, okay? People do the best they can with what they know. And when you can keep that in your heart at every single moment, you're looking at someone, you're arguing about something, you have to understand that they are a collection of every single experience and moment in their life up until that point. And you have not walked in that person's footsteps. The most important thing in a relationship is empathy, is being able to truly, as much as you can, put yourself in the other person's position and see through their perspective and then give it love. So my acronym for love is live open, value everything. So live open to who they are, live open to where they want to go in life, live open to their ideas, to their essence, and find value in every experience that has brought them here. Find value in their parents. Find value in their siblings that you may like or not like. Find value in the job that they don't like, that they complain about every single day, that you're like, oh my gosh, fine, then just quit. Why are you doing this? Because there's growth they're on their own journey, right? They're trying to figure out their own flow in life. There's a flow that works in a group, and then there's an individual flow. And when we all honor where each other is at in life and that it's this constant process of evolution, this constant process of growth, this constant cycle of learning and then creating and then serving and then resting. And sometimes that resting for people can take a long time. You know, we work and like, oh my gosh, I just need to relax. I just need to chill. And honoring wherever your partner is at in their life and just saying, it's okay. I'm not expecting you to do anything. You don't have to make me anything happy. It's not about that in a relationship. It's letting each person just be who they are and loving them in that moment, no matter what, truly loving them and loving them. Like I said, living open to where they're at and valuing where they're at. And valuing what it means for you. So go like, okay, so I can see that I need to learn patience from this because I obviously have no patience for my partner right now. So what can I learn from this? What does it mean to really be and start asking the questions, start getting curious. What does patience mean? So really just being able to honor what is happening, where you're at right now, and saying there's a lesson in this. There's room for us to grow. There's joy in this moment. Let's look at the things we are grateful for. And let's see if we can form a life that is synergistic, really working together. You have your separate goals, but then you also have your goals together. Being authentic in your relationship, being able to speak your truth. That's one of my biggest lessons in life. For me personally, I was not someone who was really able to say how I felt. A lot of times I really felt like my feelings weren't valid or they would get shut down. I was not confrontational. I'm still not confrontational at all. I don't like arguing with people. And so I would avoid anything that was confrontation, and that doesn't serve relationships either. Relationships are about having the flow in a relationship means here's an opportunity for us to grow, for us to communicate, for us to bicker and argue about something, but then make up and own our part of whatever it is that we're going through right now and whatever choices I made in it. And let me own my mistakes and let me tell you how I feel and let me tell you where I'm coming from, and not from a place of proving me right. It's from a place of, I'm going to tell you how I feel. You tell me how you feel. We're both going to be open to where each other's at. And then we're going to decide together how best to move forward, how best to learn and grow from this. So having that open communication is so important in creating flow in your relationship. Because then you always know, like, you're bringing your whole heart to this relationship and you're looking for the opportunities to love better, to fear less, to become more self-aware and to evolve individually and as a couple, you know, and to not let those traumas build up. Like, that doesn't serve you. When you start having resentment towards your partner, you have got to talk about it right away, figure it out within yourself or bring it up. Otherwise, it's just going to build a wall between you. And then you're going to end up not together anymore or really, really unhappy and wondering why. And it's because you let years of crap go. Like, say it, just say it, but say it with love. Say it with empathy. Say it to be, Franklin Covey says, seek first to understand, then to be understood, right? Like, really, where's that person coming from? That's truly what empathy is. Being able to first say, where are you coming from with this? Like, I'm here to really understand you because I don't get the anger. I don't get the anxiety. I don't understand the depression. I don't understand why you made this choice. Like, I wouldn't have done this. But then that other person being able to say, well, tell me how that made you feel. Like, wow, I didn't know that that's what you needed, or I didn't know, or I'll do better. Yeah, I can see how that hurts you. Shoot, I will do better because I love you and I care about you. Thank you for telling me. I wouldn't have known. We're not mind readers yet. Maybe one day, you know, we'll have that technology, but right now we're not. So unless you tell people what's on your heart and your mind, your dreams, how you want to show up in the world, what you want in a relationship, you're just hoping people are going to guess right. And good luck. I mean, hope that they're not, you know, most of the time. So it's better just to tell them, not be afraid. That's where courage is needed.
Yeah, that's funny. I don't want people to be able to read my mind, but it would be nice.
Right. Or just at least like your intent, like,
yeah,
just can't you see?
Yeah.
Like, how do you not see what I'm putting out? Like, right. Come on. But no, people don't know. And we communicate so differently. We're all raised and learned. And some of us are very good communicators and some of us are very poor communicators. And some of us are good listeners and some of us are very poor listeners. Some of us ramble like me. Some of us don't even know how to speak any truth at all. So you have to leave room for all different kind of people and forms of communication, and in a relationship, any kind, work relationship, a boss to, you know, an employee or husband and wife or parent, child, you have to learn how that person communicates and then be able to meet them as close, you know, to their level and their understanding as possible. And they hopefully are trying to do the same for you. That's why, like, life is, I talk about collaboration so much, because truly it's everything. Every relationship is a collaboration and hopefully one towards betterment of humanity and self, and not a collaboration that just causes more strife and heartache. I just think greatness is being an evolved version of yourself every day, right? So just being able to just be a little bit better than you were yesterday and be proud of yourself for the accomplishments you're making. Be proud of where you're at today. Just know that truly your deepest heart's desire is possible and you are within arm's reach away from making it happen. You just have to not be afraid to talk, not be afraid to research, not be afraid at having it look completely different than whatever it looks like right now in your head, even if you don't even know what it looks like, not being afraid to go after figuring out what that thing is, knowing there's something greater than you out there that wants you to succeed. So let's bring forth the cures. Let's bring forth the inventions. Let's bring forth the human compassion and personal development skills and empathy-driven jobs. And let's make this stuff a reality, because together, when we're all putting our best foot forward, we're going to solve the problems of this world. And the entire human race is going to just level up all together. So when we can just let go of all of that yuckiness and say, I am here to serve, I am here to give freely who I am, when we can start doing that, we will change the world. And that is my mission.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Shit You Need to Know podcast. Eva was a fucking firecracker, you guys, and I am so inspired to just go out there and take even more action than I have been. So if you're kind of sitting on a dream or you have an idea, just do it. Go for it. You have me as your support system. Tell that one friend who, you know, maybe gets you and will support you no matter what. Tell that one friend and you'll realize that things that you no longer thought were possible because you gave up on it are possible. I promise you that. It's all worth it and it'll all work out. Have a great week and I'll see you next week. Oh, and please remember to rate and subscribe 5 stars like an Uber driver. Thanks for listening to the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I've set up a phone number in case you have a question you need answering or just want to talk. Feel free to give me a ring at 301-941-7448. That's 301-941-SHIT. Also, don't give me a ring. No one does that. You can text the number too. I don't know why I said ring. If you enjoyed this episode of the Shit You Need to Know podcast, feel free to subscribe on iTunes and rate it 5 stars.